Okay, so 43 minutes or whatever it is not enough to do Shalos Anisha and Shasani Kirtsono. But we will do our best. So, but what I want to do is I want you to know about this website. So I'm actually going to teach it to you from this website, which is quite close to my heart because, you know, my wife works for it and recently gave a shiur presenting on how to use this page to teach this topic. So I will I'll teach it to you from here. So there is a very excellent website. Called derachea.org. It's a joint project of the virtual Beit Midrash at Yeshivat Har Tzion, and I forget who else is officially involved, which is basically halachic issues that relate to women, written by women. Main writer is Lori Novick, and there's a bunch of other people who work there, including my wife. So I'm going to really follow their treatment here. And in general, when you're ever looking at any issue that they've covered, it's an excellent website. And you see it has multiple things going on each one, right? So if you look, right, if you have it open on your screen, you'll see that you have the in brief section, right, which gives you a basic summary. Then you have the in-depth, which goes through and walks you through the Makarot. And then if you just press the Sources tab, it'll just give you the Makarot with everything translated. And then you have Q&A, which is like questions that women actually ask on the topics, like things that both practical and also things that bother them, like hashkafically about the topic, with reflections. And then on many of the topics, there's also a podcast which discusses the Makarot. So you just sort of follow it through. So I'm going to walk you through their treatment. Maybe we'll throw some things along the way, but hopefully this will get us through it in 45 minutes. Okay, so the last of the three that we have in Menachot is Shelo Asani Isha, right? So as we've seen, right, these are the three brachot that relate to people's identity, and we've already talked about extensively whether the proper girsa in all of them is Shelo, right, or whether some of them are in the positive. We noted that the girsa that we have in our Gemara has two no's and one yeses, right? One yes, right? Namely, Shalosani Evid, Shalosani Isha are lows, and also some of the other ones, Shalosani Bor, right? But of the accepted ones, and Shasani Yisrael is in our text, however, in almost no manuscripts, besides the Gra, who actually accepts this as it. But at any rate, the third of these brachot and the one that in all versions of the Gemara's text that we have is framed in the negative is Shelo Asani Isha, right? And that was the Gemara that we saw here in Menachot Mem Gimel as you scroll through that. Hayir Meir Omer Chayvan Lavarei Shalosh Brachot B'chol Yom Elu Hein Shelo Asani Goy Shelo Asani Isha Shelo Asani Bor. And then the Gemara pushed back and said, no, not Bor, Eved, right? And then you remember what the Gemara said? He said, right, Shalos on the Eved, and he said, isn't Shalos on the Eved, Shalos on Isha, aren't they the same thing? And then he said, no, nevertheless, Eved Zil Tvei. He's more Zil. Okay? Good. So, what questions do we have to ask to understand this bracha? First of all, we need to ask some of the, and I will quickly chazer this for you, we need to ask the same question we ask everywhere else, which is why negative? Right, so as we saw, one possibility, let's see if you guys remember from whatever it was 2 weeks ago, why are these brachot framed in the negative? So one possibility was, on a technicality, just so that we have more brachot. Because if you say, Shasani Yisrael, that's taken to be in the masculine, and it's taken to be a Jew, and it's taken to be a free man, and therefore you only get one bracha, and we like making you say more brachot. And therefore, if we say it in the shalos, so we can go from the least chiddush to the biggest chiddush, right, to the right, each time adding another level, and that gives us more brachot. Right, that was one possibility. A second possibility we saw from the Bach was, we paskin that it would be better never to be born, and therefore you don't want to say anything. You never want to say thank God for making me, because that would imply that you want to exist. We don't want to exist. But in far you exist, my life is a little bit less miserable than it could have been. Right, that was the Bach's very happy understanding of the universe. Oh, joy, right? Everything is great like that. Now, if you take either of those perspectives, what should be clear right off the bat is that the Shelo Asani is not per se, right? The negative framing is not per se because we like hate the people that we are saying Shelo Asani about, right? Both of those point to external reasons to say it in the negative, right? Again, one is that we just want to say more brachot. The other is that, right, we don't really want to be here, so we can't face anything in the positive. But it's not per se, the fact that it's the negative is not per se an attack on the group that we are thanking God that we are not part of. Now, does that fully solve the, does that fully, A, explain the bracha, or B, does that fully solve the problem that, just to, you know, sort of put it out there, that many women find this bracha to be horribly offensive, because why are you thanking God that you're not me? I sort of like being me. So, no, it sort of still requires us to analyze what this bracha means. Okay, so what does the bracha mean, right? Whether, even if you think that the negative is can be excused, still, why are we so grateful to be men and not women? Okay, good. So there's two levels at which we could answer this question, right? One is, what does the bracha originally mean? And the second is, experientially, how do we understand it, right, when we say it? Okay, so what does the bracha mean? Let's start with the original. So the earliest source that we have is the Tosefta. And the Tosefta says, Baruch Shelo Asani Isha, Isha She'ena Nashim Chayavot B'mitzvot. Just like we saw by Goy, right? One way of understanding all three brachot is that this is a series of brachot about what? Mitzvot. We want to be chayv in more mitzvot, and we don't want to be chayv in less mitzvot. And you just keep scrolling down. You got to just keep scrolling down. I'm not going to literally dictate to you, right? But if you want, you can just go to the source section, and then you'll just have the sources without the discussion. But I'm going to leave the discussion for you know, on mine for moments that I have it, that I need it, right? So if this is the case, so what we're talking, right, this is not, this is really a bracha about mitzvot. Now, the Yerushalmi says the same thing, and this does actually seem to be the, right, a very plausible, if not the most plausible, within Chazal, meaning for this bracha. Now, again, as we said, you still have to explain the negative thing, but we've already seen that, so I'm going to skip forward a little bit. If you look at Rashi, Rashi has two explanations in the Gemara. When the Gemara says, why would you say both Shelo Asani Ish and both Shelo Asani Eved, why would you say both? And the Gemara says, Ziltfei. So Rashi there gives two explanations. So one, is Hainu Isha. Lashon Acheret, Hainu Isha Dil Inyan Mitzvot Isha Veved Shavin, Ziltvei. Lishna Achrina, Ziltvei. Klomar Zil, Vosif Ubeirach, Shelo Asani Eved, Kidei LeHashlim. So Rashi gives two explanations of what Ziltvei means. Okay? Right? And Toch Kedei, Rashi. One second. What are they playing? It's very distracting. What is it? I don't know. Okay, right. So, well, you know, let me just open up Rashi. Really, I want the whole Rashi in front of me. Okay, so if you look at Rashi, here, Rashi, Ziltfei, let me read you really the whole thing, I don't want to cut out. So he has two. Afilu achi mezal, mezul zol hevet yoter min isha, lashon acher ziltfei, zil v'hosiv v'beir kadosh shol asani evig day lashlev. Okay, so Rashi gives two explanations. One is, don't worry about it, I want you to go and say more brachot, right? So zil doesn't mean degraded. What does zil mean? Go. Go. Right? Idach zil gmor. Right? Right? Where is it? What did I just quote? Hillel, someone comes to Hillel and says, teach me the culture on one foot. And he says, Mad, what does he say? Mad Sani. Come on. What is hateful, your The Edah Zil Gmor. He doesn't say the rest is commentary. What does he say? The rest go and learn. Right? So one possibility that Rashi says is just Edah Zil Tvei is nevertheless, I want you to go and make more bracha. Now, if Rashi says that, then he seems to maintain completely that what is the rationale for these bracha? That you're plater and mitzvot. Why do you say both? Because we say a lot of brachot, right? We haven't changed it. But once Rashi says no, even though they're both not chayiv in mitzvot, asei shezman grama, but nevertheless you say shelo asani isha and shelo asani evid, because the evid is zil tvei, he is more degraded. What does that already introduce into the cheshbon? A societal component, right? That maybe the bracha isn't only about mitzvot, right? The lack of mitzvot says man grama, but it's also about societal standing. Now this opens up a few points. One is that this makes the bracha potentially more insulting, right? The second is it also makes it potential more subject to change, right? Meaning, if you assume that women are still pater from mitzvot says man grama, so then the bracha hasn't changed. But if you think that the possibility of saying it and saying Shalos HaNeged is because the societal reality was that, right, women were of a higher social standing than Avadim, but that tells you that this bracha is also about social standing, then it could be that if we get to the point where the social standing thing is not true and people, right, you live in a society where men and women are equal, so then maybe the bracha would be problematic. At this point, though, we need to note that even if you say, right, and again, this is what Lori Novick points out, that Rashi's reading, right, this is what it opens you up to, that the first reading, that Zil Tvei says that Avadim are lesser, tells you that this brachot is about social status as well. The second one, which is Zil Tvei, go say the bracha more, right, just says make more brachot. Right, so it's just about bracha. Now, which one is the dominant view? So it happens to be the dominant view seems to be that it's about bracha. And if you look, for example, in the Torah, in the Beis Yosef, that's what they quote: Shemavarach Shalos on Isha Shegam He Ena Chayavim Mitzvot Asei Shemaz Grama. That the bracha is about mitzvot. But as I said, if you take the other read in Rashi, you open up the possibility that it's also about status, and this gets problematic. Now, how would you deal with this problem? How do you deal with this issue? Right, if a woman comes to you and says, well, it bothers me that people say Shalom Asani Isha. Or a man comes and says, I don't feel like I'm so happy that I'm not a woman, or I feel it's wrong, right? What would you say? Right? Let's talk halachically, let's talk emotionally, let's talk whatever, right? Well, good. So one, you could try and say, well, it's really about bracha. And so it's not about social standing. And if it bothers you, so... I mean, it bothers you. What am I supposed to do? Right? That's one way of taking it. I remember someone once asked from Liechtenstein when I was there, and Liechtenstein said, listen, I have a different way of saying it, which is, even if you think it's about social standing, okay? Brachot are about your honest experience. So, are you... If you ask me honestly, am I happy that I'm a man and not a woman? He said, the answer would be yes. Now you might say, oh, misogynist. And he said, listen, right, you don't have to say that. Right, you could say very simply, right? Again, this might not solve all of the problems that people have with it, but you could say, listen, in an ideal world, men and women would be treated equally. But the reality on the ground is there's a pay gap. Women are subject to more violence, physical, sexual, domestic, right? Meaning, yeah, right? Meaning you could say that the bracha is, listen, I'm not happy that this is the situation, but
it is what it is,
and I am happy that I'm not subject to that. Now, that doesn't, right, you could wrap this up in all types of things and say, and every time I say the bracha, it reminds me that I have to work harder to bring the world towards an absolute egalitarian utopia, right? But at the moment, I'm glad that I'm on the side, the privileged side of the equation, that I can, right? I have the privilege of saying that I will help fix it, but not being subject to the, you could, right? Again, I'm not saying it solves no problems, but I'm just, I want to just sort of talk through both the halachic issues, the actual interpretation, but also, as I said, brachot are also about the experience, right? And I do want to just sort of acknowledge that, right, one of the directions that people take, again, this works more for men than for women, right? Meaning, women, this may not help them, right? They may still be upset by it, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there are also men who feel weird talking about their higher status than women, right? For some men, that might help, right? Which is just to say, listen, it's not an ideal, it's the real, and you say the bracha and acknowledge that the world is harder for women, which, you know, look, you can be the biggest feminist in the world and believe that that's true. In fact, you probably do, and that's why you would work hard to change that, right? Like I just read, I was just on Thursday, I read, Dardik had sent me to the book Invisible Women, right? Which is just a book about how the fact that, like, wow, that, like, women are left out of the data, like, are left out of data, right? They're literally left out of data to their detriment. So, for example, they don't have enough women in medical trials, and therefore we've discovered that sometimes drugs which help men actually hurt women because their hormonal balance is different. It reacts differently, and it actually could hurt them, right? And or simply it's ineffective for them, or it depends on where they are in their menstrual cycle, and we never did the study, so they literally don't get the healthcare that they need, or we don't even know what healthcare would help them, right? Meaning there are, you could look at it and say, listen, this is terrible, right? I finished the book and I'm like, oh my God, this is atrocious, right? Like I'd heard about some of this research, but actually read the whole book. You're like, this is really atrocious. But part of me in the back of my mind is like, this is atrocious and I'm terrified for my wife and my daughters, but, you know, I also breathe a sigh of relief that if I go into the doctor, it's likely that the research they have is relevant for me, right? It's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, I have to acknowledge that, like, I'm glad that, you know, I don't have to panic that, look, there are four people in my family that I panic a little bit less now when they go to the doctor, right? And three that I panic more. So, you know, you can say this is horrible and acknowledge it and still say, you know, God, you made my life a little bit easier, right? You still might be bothered by the fact that we phrase it in the way we do, right? In Achinami. Now, it happens to be that there are many sources that, in fact, make much bigger deals of the social side of this than Rashi, right? Because even within Rashi, the primary one seems to be the mitzvot, right? And then you have like, you have the, what's it called? You have like a secondary level about the social, right? However, there are other sources that, I don't know if it's primary, but they definitely play that up a lot more. So, for example, B'nai Banim points this out, that if you look in the Reben Yakar, right, if you remember, we've seen the Reben Yakar a lot this year, the Reben Yakar I'll read it to you. One second. Let me pull it up. What? Okay. So apparently, if you look on Sfaria, not only do they have B'nai Banim, but they have it translated. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just this bracha. I don't know. I guess. I don't know. That's quite. I mean, that's like a big deal. Wow. It's chelak dalet tshuva aleph. Um, Right, so he says, the Rebbe Ben Yakar says, first he quotes that she's not chayv in mitzvot, but then he says, v'aval imshich v'tamim echevratiyim shemechabkim tinok zachariotim inuk negeva. He says, yeah, people like baby boys more than baby girls. They give them more hugs and kisses. They appreciate boys more. V'she'ein chaviv l'kadosh baruch hu alazachar, and God only likes men. And all types of things. There's a Chazal Amru Oylem Isha Banav Nekevot, and Chazal say woe to anyone who has daughters, right? So he does go that. So that there is another voice here, right? Which you know creates more tension in the bracha, admittedly. Okay, so what do we do? So right, so how do we deal with it? So look, some people, I remember once reading a tshuva, I didn't give it to you, but from Ramanasha Klein, where he was asked about this, and he said, yeah, men are better than women, so why are you asking me? This is not a problem. Men are better than women, so of course you say Shalos Adiisha, right? Like, okay, fine. Most people are not so on board with that. So how do we deal with the bracha? So Rav Henkin says, first of all, he said, look, Lukol Olam Yodea Shaloshan Hashem Yiberesh Rashi Ueikar. Lukol Akvarim Avarachim Tok Simcha Bavod Hashem Etzvotav. Ki Az Lo Yemakom Lidrama Mutzu. He said, first of all, we would at least diminish the problem if you explain to people, and really people actually internalize the fact that the primary meaning of this bracha is that men are chayav in more mitzvot. And what you should be feeling when you say the bracha is, thank God, I'm chayav in more mitzvot. He said, what's the problem? Not everybody believes that. And people, as he said, people have other ideas mixed in when they say it. And men are talking about, oh, I'm so much better in society. So he says the reality of, and he doesn't say this, but yes, I mean, he does later in the tshuva. A, that there are some other voices that say the bracha is about showing that men are better than women in certain ways. And two, the fact that even if that's what the bracha meant, many men don't know that's not what the bracha means. And therefore, when they say it, they do actually mean to talk about the fact that they're better than women, right? This creates a problem. And Rav Sarah HaTamar quotes that this isn't a new problem. He quotes, She harabanit amilumeda v'chachama bito shel agon Rav Yitzchak Mehamburg. This woman, who's the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, the wife of a Talmud Chacham, Ishtel Sha'arav Reb Meir Miliska, Lesko, the imo shel agon HaKadosh Mirupshitz, right? So she was the mother, wife, and daughter of Talmidei Chachamim. Right? I remember I was once at a shir where given by Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, where she was making a point about how rabbis should deal with things, and she said, "Like, listen, I'm the daughter of Rabbi Soloveitchik, wife of Aaron Lichtenstein, mother of Moshe Lichtenstein. It's like I am the daughter, wife, and mother of a Rosh Yeshiva, right? And she was the head of like she directed the social work program at Bar Ilan. She's like, trust me, I know what I'm talking about, right?" He said, Sha'ala lebaila harav. She asked her husband, Ha'im ha-sho'ev ha-me'amayim me'aboraz ha-chashav yoter mimeni she'mevarach shalos ha-ni'isha? Is this water carrier better than me? Upisa bala. Somehow her husband managed to calm her down. Right? But people are insulted by this bracha. So what do we do? Right? So what do we do? So Chaim David Alevi says, U'she yivarach shalos ha-ni'isha yitkavein sha'af. She said, the first thing you should do is, if you're going to say it with the right kavana, right? Women and men are the same, except that men are chayv in more mitzvot, and I'm really thankful that I'm chayv in more mitzvot. Rav Hirsch adds that you should further not focus on privilege, but you should focus on responsibility. Right? That once you're talking about the chiyuv of mitzvot, your main kavanah shouldn't just be, wow, I'm chayiv more mitzvot, but I am now committing to keep the mitzvot in which I am chayiv. Right? And you do somewhat less in it when you focus not on privilege, but on responsibility. However, there is another group of thinkers who said, well, maybe none of this is enough, right? Maybe sympathetic reinterpretation is not enough. Or even if it is, the fact is that there are other meanings that talk about men being better than women. And even if you think that's wrong, women are offended by it, right? So what should you do, right? Is there a solution? So there are some who have suggested that what should we do? Change the bracha, right? Change the bracha. And they've... So can you just change the bracha? So this is a very broad question. One factor is the general question of changing brachot, of kol mishanim v'yesh etavu chachamim, right? There's a problem of changing. Yes, but in general, well, we don't love changing liturgy. We're pretty conservative about it. So there is the general question. And the second is, in specifically in the question of brachot shachar, is there room to change it, right? So we have to ask our general approach to changing liturgy. And the second is specifically here. So, and the second point is, okay, and what do women say? So, there are some who've suggested that just like the Gra Paskind, that you should say, Shasani Yisrael, that there's room for men to put it in the positive and say, Shasani Ish, right? Shasani Ish. Other people have said, well, and some people have even suggested that we know that there were medieval sidurim that had the girsa for women, which had it in the positive. She'asani isha v'lo ish. So some rabbis have therefore, as she puts it here, in light of some of these considerations, some more liberal rabbis have called for altering the bracha. And so some have said, well, listen, the bracha are flexible, so why don't we change it and change it to the positive, and different suggestions are put out there. Others have suggested that instead of saying Shasani Ish, what you should say is, and again, I'm not going to go through everything. And if you want, sort of from the more left-wing perspective, I think it was the second volume of the journal from Maharat was all devoted to this issue. So you can see where the centerpiece there was an article by Zev Farber, but there's also an article by Avi Weiss and Sir Hurwitz and Ray Clapper and Gitti Bendheim and Professor Yosef Tabori. And, there's a lot going on there. There are others who say, look, if the reason that we say the bracha in the negative is simply to what? So we have more bracha, right? Then what could you do? Just say Shasani Yisrael and Mimela pater yourself from all the bracha, right? If you look in that journal, you'll see, and I this really is for me the biggest reason to hesitate. Is that, right, like Zev Farber there writes his whole article about how the brachot are really fluid, right, that we see all types of girsot in different brachot over the years, and they all mean the same thing, right? The reason that it wasn't such a problem is because positive, negative, right, they all basically mean the same thing, and therefore, we can change the girsot, right? Clapper wrote a response piece there, and he said, wait a second, you're pulling the wool over our eyes here, because... What is your proof? Your proof that we can change the bracha is that historically the brachot were fluid because it doesn't make a difference because they all mean the same thing. But you're arguing that you want to say the positive or you want to say a different girsa. Why? Because it doesn't mean the same thing and you're bothered by what it means in its current form. Right? So that's a problem. Now, you could just say, no. I acknowledge that what it really means is brachot, but people don't notice it. Right? So I'm just doing it to clarify the original meaning. Right? You could make that move. Right? Yeah, right. You could make that move, right? But you can't say, I don't like what it originally meant, so I will change it because it doesn't make a difference anyways if the reason you're changing it doesn't make a difference. You could say, right, a much more toned-down version, which is, again, people misunderstand the bracha, right? And I don't think an education campaign is going to be enough. Or women don't understand the bracha and take it offensively, and therefore it's worth changing it so it comes across more positive, right? Even if that's what it really means, right? You could do that, right? I'm not saying you can't do that. And again, that people do suggest that. However, not everyone's comfortable, and as Laurie quotes here, the Maaser Rokeach, writing in the 17th, 18th century, says, look, clothes are lover called Mishanami Mabesh Devil Kahama Brachot Aina Lotoa. Peter Joseph Agrav and Nuzak Din Khazal, Bamaranian Shikin Khazal, Shishinam and Nuzak Akhir, Afshin Royal Asukin Lakhat Khila Yatsa. He says, listen, a minor change even in any other bracha. Post facto, it might be fine, but you really have to be, you have to hesitate before you do it, right? You're not really supposed to change it. And so for Rav Henkin, as much as he's sympathetic to it, if you look here, he is among the people who says don't change it. He says, some want to get rid of the bracha. You can't get rid of a bracha that Chazal made. Unless there was a huge need and it was time to act for God, you would need wide acceptance. And some want to change it to, right? Some want to get rid of it. Some want to change it to positive. He said, but how can you just say that with God's name? It's not the Girsa. And he says, don't give me the bracha of Shasani Israel, because he says, we know that's wrong. Leave the Gras out of it. We know that that's just a mistake. It's just the censors. Right?
I remember reading some Venetian Sodom in the 1500s also had that Girsa.
What?
I remember reading.
We did this.
This was before the censorship in Venice. That would be, and like it's not so obvious that would be kind of censorship.
Okay.
In that case.
Right now, Lori here, if you press the how can we address the Shlomo Sani Isha, she says, okay, but how do we deal with it practically? So one possibility that people have said is, listen, say it, but say it in a whisper, right? This way no one has to hear it. However, other people point out that that's actually more problematic, because then you're implying that it really is insulting, and that's why you're saying it quietly, right?
By trying to make it less offensive.
Correct, you're making it more offensive. So she gives other ideas. One is, and for some communities, it might just be enough to double down on education about what the bracha means and what it doesn't, right? That it's about mitzvah. Another, she says, and this, you know, will definitely lessen the problem, is in most shuls in Israel, davening starts with Hodu or Mizmor Shir. It just starts after Birchas Shachar, and therefore... Right, you do your own private practice. No one hears it, right? And then right, that gives a little bit more room. No one has to hear it. You don't like it. I mean, you know, talk to your own rabbi and figure out what you should do. Right, she says, men can also use the recitation of the bracha as a daily opportunity to heighten awareness of the privileges they have in their lives, to thank God for the religious opportunities afforded to them, while simultaneously committing themselves to be more sensitive to those who lack them. Right, which is this version of acknowledge your privilege version. And another version of education says men and women can remember that a quantitative advantage in mitzvah observance is only one lens through which to view gender distinction in Judaism. And then she quotes here a contemporary writer, Devorah Fastag, who writes in this direction, that says men say the blessing for not having been created a woman, because this is the aspect of truth which is seen by people. The woman's role, which entails exemption or exclusion from certain mitzvot, is therefore, from our human view, less desirable. Although this is true in terms of the world, it does not reflect objective heavenly truth, for it does not show a person's true spiritual worth. But blessings are said on what is felt in this world and not an objective heavenly truth. Right? So that's the way she deals with it. She says, or women and men can continue to communicate with halachic authorities about these blessings in the hope that new and productive ideas will arise, right? Or you can say, okay, this doesn't work, so let's continue the conversation. Maybe we'll come up with something else that does work, okay? So to summarize what we've seen so far, what does Shlomo Sani Isha mean? So again, why is it in the negative? We've seen in general, either because we want to have more brachot or because we never want to thank God for existing. What does the bracha mean? So we said the dominant voice is that it's about mitzvot. But there are secondary voices that it's also about women's status in society. And then we said, okay, well, how do you deal with the fact that many men take it as a statement of being greater than women, and many women are offended by it? So we've seen several possibilities, right? There are the more conservative voices who will say, don't change the bracha, but double down on education, and maybe if that's not enough, say it in a whisper or start davening afterwards. And variations on the education theme, right? Focus on responsibility rather than privilege. Focus on the fact that there's only one aspect of your identity, but not All of it. And then, as we said, there are a lot of more liberal voices in the community, and this is suggested in different ways by Avi Weiss, by Yosef Kanevsky, by Ray Riskin, by Zev Farber in that article, and you can look through, different people have suggested, no, we should change it to some version of the positive. Many of them point to the fact that there was an 19th, 20th century posek who, in the context of Shlomo Sani Goy, because he didn't like the idea of looking down on Goyim, actually chose to follow the Gra. I have it. One second. I did save it because it was hard to find. So I did find it. Rega. Let me see. I hope I actually saved it. Second. Avram Berliner had the suggestion. I did save it, so I had the actual Gersa. But basically, in the context of Los Anisha, right, he says that he was happy about the Christian censorship, and he's like, listen, let's just say Shasani Yisrael and then not say the other bracha, because, then I don't have to say this. He wasn't comfortable with it, right? So people have suggested variations on that theme for Shlomo Sani Isha. Okay, very quickly, what about Shasani Kirtso now? So there, if you actually look through the brachot, you'll find that there were different minhagim over the years of what women said, right? Some said shalom asani ish, v'asani isha, or things like that. And then, right, there's this Ashkenazi minhag to say shasani kirtzono. Now, what does shasani kirtzono mean? And should you say it b'shem u'malchut? So, in general, Sephardi poskim are more hesitant about saying it with b'shem u'malchut because they're very hesitant about saying bracha that aren't in the Gemara. So Ruvadia, for example, says you shouldn't say it b'shem u'malchut. Many Ashkenazim are comfortable saying it b'shem u'malchut because in general Ashkenazim are a bit freer with saying bracha that are not Talmudic. Now, what does Shasani Kirtzono mean? So here, again, you have different meanings. You have the very, very negative meaning, which is the one that's quoted by the Tur. And the Torah says, what does Shasani Kirtzono mean? Kimisha matzdik alav hadin ala ra'a. Shasani Kirtzono is like, how when you're at a funeral, they say tziduk hadin and they thank God for being just, like Dayan ha'emet. So the Torah says that's what Shasani Kirtzono is. Being a woman is terrible, but Shasani Kirtzono. The Taz, on the other hand, takes it as a positive, which is no. Sheish ma'alat b'briyat ha'isha. There is a benefit, there is value to women. And therefore, she should bless on her positive, right? Yesh, shapir chayvedi levarech al ma'ala shela. And the hafla'a goes farther. Da'ashe b'tchila nivreit mitzalo. That even though originally women were created from man's rib, nasim is a tikkun l'dorochi v'lei b'vnei atzma. It made a great, right? It is that, right? A great thing for the rest of the world. K'mosha l'arizona machshavat chila v'nir shal zeh tikkun l'ashem v'arach shasani kirtzano. Right, God originally, according to the Gemara, had an androgynous male-female being, and then he had a male followed by female. But fundamentally, having women completes creation, and therefore, it is very positive. So, lemaisa, what do people do? So, apparently, many Chabad women don't say it at all. Most women do say it, some with Hashem's name, some without. What do you have in mind? So some, like Dr. Erica Brown, say that, listen, whatever it originally meant, right, she's going to own the bracha and be very happy with it. So she writes, I happen to love reciting Berachot HaShachar daily and take particular comfort in the expression Shasani Kirtzono. If there is a more beautiful blessing that embodies God's love for the individual, then I do not know of it. I find the blessing stunning. And for this reason, I feel sorry for men who do not recite it. It is an affirmation of what every single person is, a unique and special creation manifestation of God's will. So here Laurie says, right, so how should we understand the bracha? So you want...
you can just look at it as a rejoinder to Shlomo Asani, right? Or you can say no, regardless of how it was created, right? I am really happy and proud to say this bracha. And again, whether you exactly say it is also telling a lot of things in terms of liturgy and post-Talmudic liturgy and the like. Okay, that was a very, very, very quick run through. What I just want to note is that this bracha, besides for playing on the normal things that we've seen about why isn't it a negative, things like that, it has a lot more, right? Which is you need to figure out, A, what it originally meant, B, how people take it, and three, how people react to it. And as we saw, a range of opinions, we see the more conservative voices. And I think, look, we could just learn this as if it wasn't the reality and just learn the Makarot and say there's one shita that women are less and one that they're not less, right? I think you have to acknowledge this bracha, and that's why I'm teaching it from Lori's Makarot, right? Because, you know, I can feel a little bit better that, like, I'm teaching it from her Makarot. You have to acknowledge this is a really sensitive issue for people, right? And even if you don't agree with people's conclusions, right, you have to acknowledge, right, there are people who say, I understand the problem. There are people who say, I don't understand the problem. Okay, I'm not in that camp. From Menashe Klein, who says, yeah, women are less. It doesn't bother me, right? But if you're not in that camp, so you do it. You have to deal with the reality. So you could, but there are many men and women who are okay with the re-education parts of it, right? Focus on education, focus on emphasizing responsibility and not privilege, right? And there are many, right, people who are comfortable with this. You know, in my house, Ora is much more conservative in general than I am, so she's more likely to be comfortable with it than I am, right? In general on these issues, Ora is always a check on me, because, like, even if I might be uncomfortable, if Ora is not, well, then I know that at least some very educated women are not uncomfortable about these issues, right? So there are people who are not, and then a conservative approach is understandable, right? Educate about the bracha, and maybe be like Israel. Don't say it publicly in shul. Maybe the whisper thing is better. Maybe it's worse. But even if you disagree with the other view, you need to understand where it comes from, who says no, right? Either its original meaning was offensive, right? Or it's misunderstood, and that's a reason enough to change it as part of our education campaign. Again, is it something I agree with? Probably not. I'm quite conservative on certain parts of changing liturgy, right? And I do agree with our Klapper's critique here that it's hard to say you can change the bracha because it doesn't matter when you're changing it because it matters, right? But on the other hand, so you could take the more conservative within the liberal view, the more conservative the liberal, which I'm not, right, which I don't rule out as intellectually dishonest, which is it originally meant something not offensive, but people take it offensively, and therefore we should be creative halachically, right? I understand, right? But you have to at least be aware of that, right, that exists, right? And by Shazani Kirtzano, again, there's the halachic issues, which is post-Talmudic bracha, yes, no, shame Hashem, not shame Hashem, and then there's the social view. How do you view it? Do you look at what it originally meant as mastik alavet adin, or as a celebration of, right, the greatness of women? And do you say that it's important for women to say it and mean what it originally meant? Or, like Erica Brown, do you say you should say it and say what it's meaningful to you? Right? These are the questions I think you need to ask. And you need, this is one of those things where I do think you need to, it's important to have a woman in the conversation, right? I understand that I didn't actually have a woman talking here, but I specifically taught basically, I have my own Makarot on this, right? But I wanted to basically teach from Lori's Makarot for this reason, which is, to not even acknowledge it, right? To say, well, the Tosefta says it's about brachot, and therefore it's not offensive, and anyone who's, right, thinks it's offensive is because they don't care about Chazal, right? Right? You need to at least acknowledge it is a problem. Right? It is something that people struggle with. In the end of the day, the answer might still be, we're conservative about liturgy and just go on an education campaign. And the answer might be like Rav Henkin. And there are many men and women who are comfortable with that. But you at least have to understand the issues that are going in, right? It's not fair to not understand and not acknowledge it. I will just throw out there, that sort of the newer version of this Shaila is not women, but is transgender, right? The Tzitzel-Yezer deals with this question from a totally different perspective, and that is the Asani question.
Yeah, Asani, about right? How you were born or how...
Exactly, right? Is that in addition to all of this, and again, I don't want to weigh into that. I really don't want to weigh it as much as Zach wanted me to weigh into it. Exactly, right. So the Tzitzel-Yezer is the one posek who happens to believe that probably most people seem to disagree, but it says the Ezer believes that transgender surgery, even if it's usher, post facto, it works, right, halachically. But nevertheless, he thinks you wouldn't be able to say Shelo Asani because Asani, right? Now, most poskim disagree with the Tzitzel Yezer, and they think it doesn't work, right? But you should just know that, like, if someone ever asks you, you should know in the back of your mind there is a truth of the Tzitzel Yezer, and that, in many ways, plays on a lot of the sugya that we've seen. Okay, like I said, this is not a comprehensive view of this topic, but at least to understand some of the halachic issues, some of the social issues, and some of the solutions that people have suggested. But I do encourage you to read the Derech HaYah thing inside carefully, follow up the links. I can give you more makarot if you want. If you want to ask me more later and you want me to give you other views, I'm happy to give you other views. You can listen to the podcast where they talk through some of these issues. But again, it's an important issue to at least have thought about halachically, and also the reality on the ground. Okay?